ESPN College Football Podcast, hosted by David Pollack and Reese Davis.
Five AP ranked matchups, the most ever for week one. Openers pitting top five teams against each other haven't exactly been compelling, but why Georgia and Clemson will be different and who is the leading candidate to be this week's Scott Frost. Welcome to the College Football Podcast. It is Tuesday, August 31st. I'm Reese Davis. And joining me today and every Tuesday throughout football season, my good buddy, David Pollack. And Pollack, we've wanted to do this for quite some time, to get together on a podcast. And finally, they've taken the shackles off and we get to go.
Finally, we get to do it. It'll be unfiltered. It'll be straight trash coming from the rafters. There's no telling what we'll say or what we'll do, but it will be a lot of fun. You already threw shots at Scott Frost, too. That's amazing. Shots fired early in the podcast. I love it.
Well, and someone else is going to get the Scott Frost treatment by the end of the weekend, I'm sure. There are a couple of major candidates that we'll get to. But I think the place we need to start is the top five matchup between Georgia and Clemson. Now, historically, this is only the 10th time that you've opened a season with a top five matchup, and only three of the previous nine have been decided by fewer than two touchdowns. I think this one will be a lot closer. I think this will be one of the best games of the season. FPI says preseason matchup or for the season matchup, pregame quality, it's going to be the best matchup of the season. A couple of things I'm interested to see. Number one, I went back through Todd Monken's history, head coach, offensive coordinator. Only a couple of times, and it's when he's had quarterback issues, has he run more than he's passed. One of those times was last year. But Georgia hasn't exactly protected the quarterback that well. They were sort of middle of the pack, and Clemson's great at getting to the quarterback. I want to see, that's the first thing I want to see in that game. How does Georgia attack Clemson, and can they be successful? Is Daniels the guy to turn them into a full-fledged aerial machine?
Is Daniels transcendent? I know JT Daniels is really good, but is he in the upper echelon? Is he going to be with DJ Uiagalelei? Is he going to be up there with CJ Stroud, who I'm going to put up there because I think he'll be really, really good, and I think he'll do really, really well. Like, can he hold his own with those guys? If he is, Georgia's got a chance to win it all, and Georgia can be elite. I've seen some things that tells me yes to that, but I've seen some things that tell me no to that. But here's not a good start for Georgia. I don't think Darnell Washington's going to play, who I think is their best playmaker. I don't think Eric Gilbert will ever suit up for Georgia or any team in college football. I don't. I've thought that for a long time, and I don't see it any different. No George Pickens for Georgia. So, listen, I think where you need to win against Clemson is on the perimeter. You're not going to pound them. I'm sorry, you're not. Like, you remember, a couple of years ago, we were talking about Christian Wilkins and Cleveland Farrell, and we were talking about how they dominate the game. Okay, meet Miles Murphy and Brian Brussey. Because they're the same guys. They're just as they're going to be just as dominant as those two guys were in college football. They'll be high draft picks. So Georgia's offensive line, are they great or are they good? Because last year they were good. If they're just good against Clemson, it might not be a great day for that offense.
I think this is the first time, though, that you're going to see Monken completely unleashed. The offensive line is going to be key. When I said that earlier about him going to the passing game more, I don't expect him to abandon that group of running backs that Georgia has. I think he'll be really balanced. This is a real testing and prove it game for Georgia to me, David, because I know that you were glued all summer because of our deep friendship, that you were glued to Euro 2020, which even though it's 2021, we still called it Euro 2020. So, you know, soccer's not my wheelhouse. That's not fastball middle in, right?
Not anybody's. Yeah.
Well, it was. I dove into it. I had a great group to work with. I was studying all these teams. So I started studying the number one ranked team in the world, according to the FIFA rankings, and it was Belgium. And Belgium had all of these great stars, the soccer equivalent of great recruiting classes. And Belgium had won, but they hadn't won big tournaments. They didn't win World Cup, they didn't win Euros, and they didn't again this year. And as I was studying Belgium, I was like, oh, Belgium is Georgia. I get it.
So all Georgia fans are so pissed at you right now. Literally,
Georgia,
like, shut up, man.
Georgia is Belgium. They've got great stars. They've got great players. But yet there is one thing left, and there's nothing insulting. Georgia fans can be as mad as they want. There's nothing insulting about this. This is a compliment. It's okay. not good enough okay. for Georgia to just be okay. They've got to be a champion. They've got to be the champion to get to the next level.
I've got another Georgia fans. That was a slight. That was a punch right in your face.
Not. Whatever. Belgium was number Reese one is, in the world.
Reese is, never gonna, slap. Reese is always nice, and he's going to do it like this, backhanded across the face. But it was a slap. Anyways, slap I got a comparison that's more apples to apples. How about me, you, Jesse Palmer, Thursday Night Football, and we're in Clemson, Death Valley, and we're talking about Clemsoning.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how this is a real thing. Clemson's good, but they just can't get over the hump. They can't get over the hump. They got over the hump, and they knocked that ceiling out the roof, and now look mm-hmm. what they've become. We know Georgia can do the same thing, but they got to prove it to us. They're right there, and they're finished. They finished second to Alabama. They finished fifth in the polls twice now. So they're knocking on the door, but at some point, it's the same thing we say with everybody else. Go do it. Go mm-hmm. prove it to me. Go prove that you can be not just good, you can be elite. They have the talent to do it. But I mean, you're not wrong. You can't, it's not, it might be a little bit of an insult to Georgia fans, but it's also a harsh reality of where they're at.
It's finishing. It's finishing with the ultimate prize. You know, I won't belabor the soccer analogy, but I think there are tiers between good. Georgia's not just good. Georgia's excellent. But then there's that elite level of champions where Alabama has set the standard, where Clemson is probably a championship or two away from equaling that dynasty. Ohio State has been right there and won one and played for another one. And Georgia played for one. That's to their everlasting credit.
There's one thing to consider though, Reese. There's one thing to consider. If I'm a Georgia fan and I have Georgia fans that come at me, they're like, man, Kirby needs to do this or else he's not the guy. And I'm like, whoa. You're living in an era with the greatest coach of all time. And if Kirby's not in his conference, how many national championships does he have? If Kirby doesn't have to go through the GOAT, the greatest coach of all time, we know they have at least one, probably two. You also have to consider that. I mean, this is Nick Saban's world. Everybody else is just living in it. Dabo has it going too, and we got to give him credit because he's got two in this era, which is exceptionally hard to do. I think his path is going to be easier every single year this year, you know, having a challenging game week one. But we're living in Nick Saban's world and Nick Saban's conference. It's kind of a hard thing if you're any other coach.
It is the greatest dynasty in the history of the sport. And I don't know how anyone could argue that. And because of that, I don't think Georgia should be diminished, but I also don't think Georgia should lower its standards because of that. They should try to win championships. They have a fertile recruiting ground, a great university, an elite head coach. And anyone who says to you, any of your Georgia friends, look, if they say it in frustration in a moment after they lose a game, okay, as long as they take it back later. But that's silliness. You know, that's silliness. Fans say things in the heat of the moment, and it's okay.
No, fans don't do that.
Did you not hear the Ohio State fans after everybody was sort of dancing around on the set Saturday going, well, I don't know, and that Oregon game might not be as easy as I was like, forget that. Oregon is going to win, you know? So, and they got
Reese Davis has spoken, okay?
I've got some hesitancy about that because I worry about Oregon's quarterback. We'll talk. Not that he's not good, but again, much like you said about JT Daniels, I know he's good. Is he transcendent? And, you know, that would be the question about them. Before we leave Georgia, Clemson, you've picked Georgia to win the national championship. So I assume that you think Georgia is going to win against Clemson. What will be the difference in the game?
I think the one that we talk about Clemson's defensive line, how dirty they are. I think Georgia's is just as dirty. Now they're they're built differently. Like, you know, the Jordan Davises and the Washingtons and these guys up front are just, I mean, they're big, strong suckers, but they can really, really move. I wonder about the new era with DJ Uiagalelei in this offense. Trevor Lawrence was transcendent. Deshaun Watson was transcendent. I think this guy's got a chance to be transcendent as well. I worry about their offense and their running game. You know, no Travis Etienne. No Travis Etienne in the run game. No Travis Etienne in the screen game, which made DJ look really, really good by the numbers a year ago. And I think their running the football has depended so much on Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. And when I watch DJ run, I see an athletic kid, but he ain't athletic enough to make people miss. He's right. more of a big, strong sucker that will plow ahead and get first downs. So with what they like to do on the perimeter, breaking in a few new offensive linemen, especially losing Carmen from a year ago, I think we're going to have a defensive battle. I think we'll have a lot of good defensive players that stun the day. And I think Georgia's defensive line is going to be insane this year.
Well, look, you mentioned it earlier. I'm not one to, you know, just try to give some hot take or something like that. One of the remarkable things to me about the great success that Clemson has had in terms of winning national championships is that with possibly an exception or two here or there, their offensive line play has been good, but not necessarily dominant. That's fair, right?
And crazy.
So the same thing that I said earlier about questioning whether Georgia can protect JT Daniels because Uiagalelei is not going to make guys miss, maybe Georgia gets to him. Now, getting him on the ground is going to be a significantly larger task than getting JT on the ground because Big Cinco is just that. Okay, so I don't know, man. I mean, I grew up in the South. Clemson's beaten Georgia one time in 30 years, but I kind of lean Clemson in this game, Dave, just a little. I think it's going to be a great game, just a hair. I mean, but I think it's – and Clemson needs it. Georgia can recover. Clemson can recover too, but it's a pretty significant mountain for them in terms of at the moment, though things could change. I don't think they have another ranked team on their schedule. They don't play Miami or North Carolina until the ACC championship game. So, you know,
if Clemson wins, they're in the playoff.
Well, they'll be in the ACC championship game because I think Miami, North Carolina could give probably,
they're in the playoff.
Probably. Like
we can go ahead and take a fourth of the playoff and go, we're done. Thanks for coming. Everybody else, there's three spots up for grab. Let's go get them.
Okay. Clemson and Georgia. And then there's Miami and Alabama. And, you know, De'Aaron King coming back from his knee injury. Alabama's defense should be nasty. Those three defenses, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, should be elite this year. All have dominant pass rushers. Outside of Kayvon Thibodeau, I'm not so sure Will Anderson from Alabama is not the best pass rusher in college football. And he probably would like to stake claim to being the best by the end of the season. This is pretty significant game for the ACC, pretty significant game for Miami. And as part of my, I don't know why I got on the tangent of researching offensive coordinators. And I know Gus Malzahn ran the offense at Auburn for the most part, but when Rhett Lashley was the offensive coordinator, at first they put up numbers, but the last two times that they faced an Alabama defense, they've averaged in the last two meetings 220 yards and scored a grand total of one touchdown. Now, he didn't have.
Can you confirm that Rhett Lashley was the offensive coordinator, or was it Gus?
It was mostly Gus, but stylistically there are some similarities. Though Rhett has adapted a little bit, and they've done a really good job, or did last year prior to the injury with De'Aaron King. But I think the question becomes to me is how quickly would the Alabama offense retool, regroup, get Bryce Young settled, and can the defense sort of keep De'Aaron from making big explosive plays early and putting the Alabama offense in a hole?
Well, and I think that's the fun part. The fun part about this matchup is, first of all, if you have anybody else in the country at quarterback, you can probably go ahead and cash this game. It's over. But you got De'Aaron King. You have to have some guy like that that's athletic. You have to have a guy that can tempo you a little bit. And we saw with Rhett Lashley. He did a great job a year ago as an offensive coordinator. I mean, he did a phenomenal job of changing Miami and changing the youth. Like, it was so much better than it's been in the past ever. Like, they should have done this a long time ago because you got so much access to so much speed. But why would you not tempo? Why would you not use his ability to run, his ability to throw? So I think it'll be a fun matchup. You saw Matt Corral a year ago drop 63 on Bama, for God's sakes. I mean, it was awesome.
No, he didn't. He didn't drop 63.
It was enough.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
63 on them.
Whatever. It was close enough, bro. He put up 3,000 yards passing, 2,000 yards rushing. Okay. It was a great game. But I think Miami has an opportunity with him to tempo, to make plays, to keep them off balance. But it's all about Bryce Young for Alabama. Like, listen, We know what we're going to get from Alabama's defense, whether it's the most dominant in football or not. It'll make you earn it. It'll turn you over. It'll be successful. But offensively, I think the main thing that you had with Mac Jones is you had a running game that you knew you could count on, and you had big uglies up front that you knew you could count on. Breaking in new guys up front, that could be a little bit of a challenge. You can have the most talented guys in the world. The offensive line is a lot about communication. It's a lot about being on a string. It's a lot about, okay, we're doing this together. We're working together. They work together more than any group in all of college football. The offensive line has to be able to work together well, and not having experience, not knowing a new offensive coordinator. I think there's a lot of things to break in that I don't doubt Bryce Young's talent. I don't doubt the plethora of wide receivers, but how fast can they get in a groove and get it going? Because last year was on another level. Last year was just – it was video game.
Yeah.
It was so easy.
By the way, video game, that's good news. Coming back soon.
Yeah, baby. Point.
Looking forward to that. Okay. But the thing is with the – Alabama's had some injuries in camp on the offensive line, so they haven't worked together as well as they have. But you mentioned Bill O'Brien, the new – offensive coordinator, Manny Diaz taking over the defense for Miami now in terms of creating turnovers and all of that kind of thing. It's been great. But from time to time, North Carolina comes to mind. And, you know, and then back in the day when he was at Texas, BYU comes to mind.
I think we were there for that, weren't we?
Yeah. No, I was not there. I don't think we were there for Texas BYU. I was in studio.
We were there when it got bad at Texas on Thursday night. Some and it wasn't.
Yeah, we were definitely there pretty. when it got all sideways at Texas. But there have been times, and you have some pieces back, but you have your pass rushers gone. Roche and Phillips went to the draft last year. Jalen Phillips, Quincy Roche from Miami. There have been times when, even with all the turnovers, the defense has sprung big leaks. How do you see the matchup schematically, Bill O'Brien against Manny Diaz, who's also managing the game as the head coach, but also is going to be the defensive play call?
Which is obviously tough. But, you know, Miami's an interesting team because I feel like they're transfer U. Like, I feel like Miami is, you know, that's how they're going to build it in the future. I feel like that's how they want to build it. I feel like that's how they're going to have the most success. So they're going to do pretty good in recruiting, yes, but they're not afraid of the transfer portal by any way, stretch of the imagination. So how does that affect the locker room? How does Manny get them to believe? I think they're good defensively, but listen, you have to be physical enough. It doesn't take as much chemistry to pass block and pick up blitzes as it does to smash you in the mouth and say, stop this. Are they physical enough for Bama? Are they going to be able to meet that challenge? Because if you can't meet that challenge, it's over before it starts anyways. And that's what I'm going to be interested to see. Can the defensive line – before Manny Diaz has to get aggressive, can the defensive line hold up with the physicality of Alabama? I don't think they can. I don't think they will. I think it'll be a struggle bus, and then we'll see from that point on. But I think Miami's a team that they're fun to watch, that they've got some sizzle with De'Eriq King. I'd like to see more substance with them. I'd like to see them be more – consistent. I'd like to see them be more disciplined. I'd like to see them be a tougher, more physical unit. I think that's how they get to the next level. They got to look a little bit different in their pads, and they got to hit you in the face over and over and play hard with a standard every single play.
Alabama's won, Saban's 14-0 in openers. They've outscored their opponents by about 30 points per game. And a lot of times we throw those stats around and you're like, yeah, well, the openers, what would you expect? Here are the teams they've beaten. Among the teams they've beaten, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Wisconsin, USC, Michigan, West Virginia, Florida State, Louisville. And Florida State was one of those top five matchups too, by the way. But I think this one will probably feel a little bit more like the West Virginia and Virginia Tech games in openers in Atlanta, if you remember, where Alabama
for a
felt
little while.
Like the better team, but they just, yeah – I think it may take.
So are you on the Bama hype train this year, or you think this is actually, you know what? We've already went through this a little bit. Me and Reese text a lot throughout the week.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun picking our playoff teams because it's been like, you're not really all in on anybody. You're not bullish on anybody yet, are you?
No, I'm not, because I think, you know, and I don't, it's no fun to say, Oregon. Well, we have to wait and see how they play. But I think the door is open. Everybody's complained about the same playoff teams every year. And I think there are enough cracks in the armor for Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State that there are openings there that we could see a different looking playoff by the end. There's no question that those three teams, along with Georgia and Oklahoma, have the most talented rosters. But I think there is enough uncertainty and enough newness here and there that a well-timed or, from their perspective, ill-timed stumble could change the way the playoff looks at the end. So I'm not all in on any of those teams. Now, look, that could change in a couple of weeks because you're talking about C.J. Stroud, who I know you and Herb Street love, Bryce Young, who is the number one dual threat quarterback in the country. So it's not like guys are coming in here without credentials and without ability. But I think there, there's some continuity that needs to come along with it. So I think I'm not all in. I'm all in on Alabama's defense. I think this is probably not going to be 2016 level, and the stats certainly won't look like 2011 or 2009 because the game's so different. But I think it's the best defense they've had probably since that 2016 defense, which was,
So you don't have any question marks about their D-line? You think those guys are
– yeah.
Because the one thing I'll say about the D-line, which I'm interested to see, is they always have a guy, a dominant force that wrecks the game. I know they got a lot of numbers and a lot of depth. I can't wait to find out who the guy is that you go, oh, crap. And listen, we could go back 12 years for God's sakes and give you every single back to A'shaun Robinson. We can keep going. And they always find a guy that you always is dominant. I wonder who that guy is this year. Who's your inside sources there at Bama telling you?
I think it still could be LeBryan Ray, but I also think DJ Dale and Tim Smith right in the middle of it have a chance to be.
Tim Smith,
50, good. I believe. I know you like the numbers. I always have to remind you, everybody doesn't have the roster memorized. Everybody's not sitting there just looking at the tape. Say a name. They change numbers.
Like 50 is really good.
Derek Stingley changed. He's 7 this year at LSU. Speaking of them, who's going to get the Scott Frost treatment? Meaning that one game, you're not the guy. I mean, it was more than one game for Scott, I know. But the season opening reaction that just absolutely sends the fans into a state of confusion and apoplexy. I think LSU is going to beat UCLA. But if they don't, Coach O's going to get that 19 was a lightning in a bottle.
Why would you say that, Reese Davis?
This is sideways. Well, I think they're going to win. But if they don't, that's what's going to happen. Same thing, same town for the games because LSU's at the Rose Bowl to play UCLA. Clay Helton and USC take on San Jose State. Now, San Jose State is not fast enough after what I watched it the other night, not fast enough to beat USC. But if USC slops around a little bit like it has in early games before, San Jose State is skilled enough and dangerous enough to upset them. Either one of those guys, should they lose their game, they're going to get the Scott Frost treatment that, this is not working. This is going in the wrong direction. Who's next?
How do you have a handle on what you think LSU is going to be?
No.
Okay. Cause I could fully see if you told me that if you closed your eyes and you said at the end of the season, LSU is a top 10 team, I could go, okay. Mm-hmm. I could see them being a top 10 team. If you closed your eyes and told me they lost 5 and they weren't even in the top 25, I could say, okay. I mean, I feel like within there's very little middle ground. Like there's a bunch of guys that are highly recruited. It's a pump your chest culture. And I feel like they could blow up and they could be really, really good, or they could all start taking off and leaving and not playing. Like, I don't know what to expect. I think Max Johnson's going to be really good. I like his temperament. I like his pedigree. Brad Johnson's his dad. And I've known Max for years. He's from Oconee right down the road. Like, he is a competitive sucker, man. Like, we play 2-on-2 basketball with him and his brother, like both D1 athletes. His brother's he's the number one tight end in the country from right down the street. 6'6", beautiful specimen. I mean, he's going to LSU as well to partner up with his brother, but they're competitive suckers, man. So I think I know he'll be good. I know that offense will be explosive, but I cannot get those defensive clips that I watched out of my head from a year ago. I just it's burned right here.
The guy responsible for it got fired.
Oh my God! But it just hurts my head, and you can't look at guys that talented passing down licks, miscommunications, lack of effort. I'm just like, oh my Lord, have mercy. So yeah, Edo is not a coach. I would never hire a coach that doesn't have one side of the ball taken care of. I just wouldn't do it. I'm not that. I want one side of the ball always taken care of. He's got to have the right guys around him. He's not alone. There's a lot of coaches that are like that, but he's got to have a great OC and a great DC, and making changes this past year, bringing new guys in, trying to get that Brady magic that you had from a couple years ago, Brady and Burrow magic, back. I think it's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, Durante Jones, for people who don't know, he was defensive back coach in the NFL for the last 5 years. He's the new defensive coordinator at LSU. And Jake Peets, who is from that, has the same type of mindset with Joe Brady, who was quarterback coach for Carolina last year, as the offensive coordinator for LSU. Let's hit a few quickly. Big Ten is giving us a treat opening week by having
huge
games. I mean, you've got Ohio State at Minnesota. You've got Indiana playing Iowa, which I think is just a gargantuan game, not only for those two teams, but Cincinnati's probably rooting for Indiana too, because if Indiana has another good season, that's a chance for a marquee type non-conference win for the Bearcats later on.
Do you expect them to have another season like that?
No. I don't know what a season like that means. With the COVID year, I do expect them to be good, but
season in the top 15. How about that?
In that neighborhood, I think. But I think they're going to.
Lord, do you want some syrup with that waffle?
No. I'm not. There's no waffle. Here's what I'm going to say. I think they're going to lose to Iowa because I'm really high on Iowa. I figure they'll lose to Cincinnati, and they're going to lose to Ohio State. So there's three right there. So that kind of puts you in that, 15 to 20 to somewhere ranked neighborhood. That's what I expect from them. Capable of beating anybody, probably going to lose three or four.
Yeah, it's interesting because what's changed about them now is you look at their roster now, and you got transfer palooza now from Auburn and A&M. Like, I think
Ole Miss,
Indiana loses to Ohio State and most of these teams pretty convincingly. Remember, they've been a team that have hung around, they lose. Is depth. I'm just curious to see if some of this transfer stuff can help them. Tom Allen is an elite coach, dude. We love him. How do you not? He loves everybody. Like, it's his saying, he's the man. Like, I believe in him, but a lot of things went right, including Michael Penix Jr. stretching out and getting that call that might have been good, might have been not.
That was a wrong call.
And it went like this because of that. Yeah, now right. It's different. Now you lose to Iowa week one. I think it changes the magic. I don't expect Indiana to be where they were. And I thought Womack was one of the best DCs in all of college football. And now he's gone. I think he went to South Alabama to be the head coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think losing him could be pivotal, because I thought he was as good as anybody in the country is bringing pressure, freeing up guys, disguising what they were doing, showing something and doing something else. So I expect them to come a little bit back down, be a top 25 team, but they're not going to be as high as they were a year ago.
So like me, you expect Iowa to win the game.
I do. I expect Iowa to win.
Yep. Okay. What about you're really excited about Penn State and Wisconsin too. People are really excited about Wisconsin. Graham Mertz was so good in the opener, and then he had the COVID issues in Wisconsin. I don't know what you take from last year. I know he's talented. I think they have a Clemson transfer who's starting at running back, somewhat surprisingly, Malusi too, but they'll play plenty of running backs there. Are you that high on Wisconsin? I'm a little bit higher on Penn State, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I could see Penn State, because it was kind of the opposite of Indiana a year ago, with like their season started bad and then golly, it went to heck in a handbasket really, really quickly. I'm bigger on Wisconsin. I trust Wisconsin and who they are and what they are. I don't know what I'm going to get from Penn State. Sean Clifford's still at quarterback, and I still don't know what I'm going to get from Sean Clifford. Like, he holds on to the ball too long. Listen, he's a good athlete. He makes plays, but I'm just watching tape, and I watch him do this and this, and I'm like, bro, throw, throw the football. Like
you're like Spurrier to Jesse.
Spurrier, bro.
With the clicker. Throw it.
That's all I could see is, you know, Jesse, and Jesse spent all those years with us on Thursday Night Football. And he said Spurrier would take the clicker and just rewind it and be like, throw. Like, I feel the same way with him. And I think Parker, I think they got some weapons that could be good. New OC, I like all that.
I love that.
If you're asking me who I trust and who they are and what they are, give me Wisconsin all day long. But Mertz is the key, right? Like, the way he opened last year, holy cow, we were all on fire. Like, if Wisconsin has a quarterback that can do that with that system, with Jim Leonard in the defense, and we know what he's done, man, they can be great. And then, you know, COVID and all the stuff that hit that changed everything. So I'll go with Wisconsin week one.
Okay. Any chance at all Minnesota gives Ohio State a game? Their defense was dreadful last year, but Irem was the Big Ten running back of the year. You expect them to be better and be more themselves on offense than they were a year ago. But the defense, I mean, they a lot of transfers, tons of transfers. I think they've got transfers on their defensive line that should help them out a little bit. Can they first game of the season, home against Ohio State? Any chance there Thursday night for a game? Man, not to win. I mean, nobody.
No, I know they're not going to win. Nobody's going to pick them to win. I do think it'll be fun to watch Minnesota with that big offensive line and Ibram and pounding the rock and what he will be. Ohio State's just so much more talented. I want to say it'll be a game. And we don't know what we're going to get from CJ Stroud. Like, we don't know if he has some hiccup moments. And that's what I'm interested in so much with all these games. Like, DJ, Uiagalelei, and Bryce, and CJ. Like, all these guys, like Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, you know, I'm not going to give you numbers, so I'll give you full names.
That's my guy.
I'm trying to get better. Like, with all those guys, Spencer Rattler was the number one quarterback in the country. Spencer Rattler had moments a year ago. The moment got too big, bro. Like, there's going to be moments for these guys, and it's going to be interesting to watch how they react because, yes, they're five-star, and yes, they're talented. Spencer Rattler got benched against Texas. He got thrown on the pine, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, crap. Like, okay, like, let me get my crap together. Came back second half and then went the rest of the season, I think, with a 10-2 interception ratio and finished strong. So, you know, that moment when they get that gut check, does the moment present a big moment like that against Oregon week two, I think, is probably what you're betting on with Stroud, and he has some bad moments, and Oregon's super talented, and they take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's my thinking on it, obviously, David, for that week two game, although, you know, you don't know what the opening week, weird things happen. Another game that I'm kind of watching, I'm going to hit some of these quickly as we go through. We don't have to go through the whole schedule, but Louisiana with 20 starters back, quarterback comes back. They've got a lot of power five level talent, particularly on the defensive line. First game for Texas, new quarterback there in Hudson Card, though Thompson's going to play some as well. You know, Texas is not going to be caught unaware, and the preparation wasn't disrupted as Iowa State was last year when Louisiana went in and beat them on opening day. But that one's not going to surprise me at all if the Raging Cajuns beat Texas again and get another Big 12 victory on the opening Saturday of the season.
Well, how pissed would I be a Texas fan be? Like, wait a minute, are we doing this again? Like, is this for real, for real? I don't know what Texas is. I they're kind of like LSU for me. I could see them doing well, or I could see them falling off a cliff. But, you know, week one, I tell you what, I know they got a star at running back. Bijan Robinson is a star. He's out of all – think of all the Texas football that has been played. No one's averaged more yards per carry ever than he did last year. He was a true freshman. Like, he's unbelievable. And I guarantee you, we saw Sark use guys in chess piece. He's playing chess. A lot of people's playing checkers. He'll put him in a position. He'll throw him the ball. He'll give it to him. He'll do a great job of, you know, coming up with a plan for him. I think it could be a tough one. Levi Lewis for me with Louisiana. Kirk, I've watched this. Wow, Reese. I've watched this all year, or I watched his whole career, and I think he's good. But, man, as a passer, he's always been so suspect. Mm-hmm. And He's evolved, and if he can be a competent passer and get his completion percentage just up a little bit, I know he's got wheels. He's a lefty. He throws it sweet. I love the way it comes out of his hand. He's dynamic, but the passing game for Louisiana, if it doesn't get better, they don't have a shot to beat Texas.
Okay, we've talked a lot of games. You know what? Think about this for a second, and then I've got to ask you one other question. I want you to give me a couple players that you want to watch for this season. It doesn't necessarily have to be the games necessarily, but before we do that, this is something we're going to do every week. What else are you doing? I know there's not much else you do besides football. Give me something else you're doing. What else are you doing?
Well, I've taken up golf, which is.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Bro. Okay.
Oh, no.
So for some, and Reese knows me well enough to know, there's not many things that can make me curse. There's just not. Now, listen, I got 4 million code words for curse
yes,
words that I can
use. Yes, baby back bull schist is one
schist.
Of them.
That's yeah. Sorry, mother sucker. I mean, yeah. I got a bunch of
them. Some of them venture
I
too close to the line, and I have to – We have spiritual conversations about this to try to make sure we stay right. Right.
I agree. But man, does that mother freaking make me want to get so pissed off? Like I've never played a sport that you try harder and you don't get better. Football, you give more energy, you give more effort, more weight room. Boom. Good things happen. Basketball, you dribble more, you shoot more. Good things happen. Golf sucks. It just – listen, I would have quit already if I did not walk and carry my bag and get exercise. I get 4 miles every time I play. I can justify it. I'm getting better, but – oh. So golf is something I'm – what are you doing? What are you into besides,
besides
your boys'
what?
Baseball, besides Christopher's baseball and
– Well, I don't have a lot to do with that except being a fan and, supporting that as best you can. And that with the kids, it's kind of what I do. I don't have a lot of outside hobbies other than work and reading and texting with you. That's about it, I think, in terms of hobbies. But, you know me, man, I stay on the Peloton. I've got it because I know I'm going to get shamed by you if I come in with that overly doughy look. We're just like in the, we're a little extra padding right now, not in the full-fledged Pollock's going to call me doughy realm right now.
I mean, listen, yeah. I just like when I get to heaven, I want somebody to say to me, like, this dude always shot me straight. Like, I want to be a guy that when you describe me, I want to be like, that dude always shot me straight in a good way, in a positive way. You know, I'm going to shoot you straight. And listen, you've showed up a couple years and it's been noticeably flabby. I mean,
yeah,
it's been,
I know
it's been pear-shaped. It hasn't been good. So what am I going to see this week?
You're going to see decent, but on the way to great. How about that?
That's what I like to hear.
Not bad for somebody who's rolling double nickels on the driver's license either. Too. No.
Yeah.
Remember that. Dang, but you're getting older too.
Skippy.
I know you're starting to get old too. All right. Give me a couple players that you want to keep an eye on.
Mackenzie Milton's number one for me.
Oh, yeah,
you think about what happened to him and dude, all the years now away from not just a good career, superstardom, Heisman Trophy talk at a non-power five school. And you just watched him light it up. And now he goes to Florida State. And how perfect. Florida State needs a resurrection. They need that program. Something good needs to happen to kind of bring them back. Like, he's a guy that, man, this could be such a great story that we follow. They got Notre Dame week one. I'm not saying they're going to beat him, but maybe they scare the crap out of him. And he's a guy that hopefully gets a lot of playing time and a guy that we can say, dude, look at this story.
And that is something else. We're not positive. I mean, the reports from practice and from training camp have been very, very good. But the same could be said for Jordan Travis too, right? I mean, he's
athlete.
Yeah, he's been very good. So
he's an athlete and he's competitive. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard. Just we're bloviating and we're talking about UCLA and Kirk Herbstreit.
You're all in on this, right? You're ahead, right?
Get in front of it, boys. I've never seen a lot that I love about his throwing the football. Like we can talk about. He's a great athlete. He's a phenomenal athlete. I watched every throw. Last night, I was watching every single throw he threw from that game. Only a few of them did I actually like. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even the touchdown, the 44-yard touchdown pass up the sideline, it was a go route that was thrown inside the cornerback. Okay. I don't know if you know a lot about football, but you don't throw.
You know, I know a lot about football.
No, I'm talking about everybody else out there. I know you.
They
do.
Know.
I'm
saying they know a lot too. Let's not talk down to our audience. If they're listening to this, they know. They know what you mean.
I'm just saying, like, go routes you missed outside and long, right, and he missed short and inside, and his receiver made a heck of a play. But I'm so interested to watch him. Derek Stingley Jr., by the way.
I was about to say, is that going to work against Derek Stingley Jr.? No.
I just can't. I can't wait to watch him, by the way, because I thought he was the best freshman I've ever seen in college football. I mean,
he was not the best sophomore.
He was not. And how much is he ready to rock and roll and prove people like, listen. And, by the way, he's a guy that will play some offense. He's a guy that I think by game two or three or four, because he's missed some camp with some injury stuff. But I think we'll see him on the offensive side of the football. And I think Ed O and LSU will try to get him a Heisman Trophy.
You know, that's the thing Herb Street kept saying on game day, get in front. So I told him yesterday, I said, you know who's in front of UCLA? Coach O and the Bayou Bengals. And we would be remiss if we didn't say all of the people – Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, who are dealing with all of the effects of Hurricane Ida. Certainly our thoughts, prayers, support continue to be with you. And, you know, LSU has represented the great state of Louisiana in traumatic and trying times many times in the aftermath, and they found strength and resolve and moments of joy from LSU playing football. So I'm sure that'll be the case again on Saturday. You know who I want to see? And not necessarily this week, but on the season. Devon Achain from Texas A&M.
So good
in the bowl game. He was a track All-American in the 100 and 200, I believe. My buddy Alan Cannon at A&M told me.
He's on the all-name team, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
that's the all-name team. Yeah. Achain. Like,
Achain. That's a good
that's
one.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's one other one that's going to surprise you that I'm really excited to see. And that's new South Carolina starting quarterback, Zeb Nolan. You know Zeb Nolan's story? I know you recognize the name, right?
Yeah, I recognize the name.
Zeb Nolan left North Dakota State, where he was Trey Lance's backup, to go be a GA for Shane Beamer. Well, they had some injuries at quarterback, lost a guy, Luke Doty, who's going to be their starter, is hurt. They're hoping to get him back at some point. So Zeb had to break out the pads again. And now Zeb is going to be, he was there for death, but he won the job. So he's going to be the starting quarterback. Now, before you think this is just a nice, cute little story. Many may remember he started his career at Iowa State. He started some games for them. He put 360 and two touchdowns on fifth-ranked Oklahoma in one of the games. But they sputtered a little bit, and Brock Purdy stepped in for him and sort of ran with it, and he left to go to North Dakota State in search of more playing time. He runs into a man called Trey Lance. That's a problem if you're looking for playing time. And so now maybe the huge hand of fate has moved Zeb's way. Nothing would please me more than to see him start, play great, and to be able to finish what has been a bit of a star-crossed football career with something really positive before he steps into coaching.
That would be pretty sweet.
They play Eastern Illinois, so hopefully he can get off to a good start here.
Was that run at Iowa State where they had like 17 quarterbacks play in like a four-week span and all of them lit it up? Like everybody who stepped on the field was like throwing for three bills. It was amazing.
And then they'd sort of cycle back, and then Purdy finally grabbed it and ran with it too. We didn't mention Oklahoma. I think Tulane's got a wide receiver.
They good.
Yeah, Tulane's got a wide receiver that used to play at Oklahoma, Michael Jones. You're going to see that a lot this year with all of the transfers. I mean, it's
crazy.
It's guys.
Oh, and anybody who plays in college football during a week will have a Tennessee player on it. So we're 100% sure of that.
Yeah.
Every Tennessee football player is somewhere on the team.
They appreciated Big Orange Nation appreciated Saturday when someone mentioned the Tennessee transfer. I said we'd need another 3-hour show to go through everybody who's transferred from Tennessee.
Which one
of those guys, Henry To'o, is one of the reasons why Alabama's defense is. If they were, I don't know if they had a weak spot or not a weak spot, but a non-transcendent spot, but he might have taken care of that. By
they got a few linebackers. I think that linebacking core is pretty ridiculous. Yeah, they're pretty all right.
Hey, here's something else. Real quick note, Dave and I are going to be here every Tuesday. I'm going to open up at some point, and I'll put this out on social media. I openly mock some of the stuff that coaches say to players. So I want to hear from players the things that you guys laugh about and make fun of. It will be completely anonymous. I will not give away who you are. All of the stuff they tell you about how you can, will your way to lifting 700 pounds or whatever it might be. I once had a coach who, for some inexplicable reason, held his hand over a cigarette lighter and said it didn't take courage to do that. I never really knew what he was talking about. But weird stuff like that, I want to hear.
And lit it?
Yeah, it was, but it was strange. It's not like he burned his finger off or anything. But I want to hear from players about stuff that when they're sitting around and imitating their coaches, I want to hear what they're saying, what they're making fun of. So
that should be a lengthy list.
Players, I know. We'll try to go
hard in the paint on their coaches. They should.
As well they should, because I've got a great deal of respect for coaches, but I'm out on the deification that every decision and every move they make is always right, no matter what. I call that being Coachy McCoacherson. The quintessential coach with the oversized baggy sweatshirt that has big team little me and a long billed cap and a whistle around his neck and maybe he wears cleats. Wait a minute. Is that describing somebody we know?
I'm about to say, is he coaching this week or what?
I guess Wes, I don't know. Maybe. I just realized as I was going through the description that might describe someone we know. But
I wear cleats on my coaching for my 12U team too. I mean, Reese, what was that
probably
a problem?
Probably because you're taking reps though. When's the last time you put a 12-year-old on his backside, Pollock, in practice? Yesterday.
we do pursuit drill.
Yeah.
And we teach, we do turnover pursuit drills. So we'll catch picks on the sidelines and I teach them to go near sideline and we teach them to build a wall. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be the offensive lineman a lot of times with a dummy holding a dummy. And a lot of times I'm going full bore and just decapitating. I mean, I'm running in there with the dummy and just taking their heads off. Yes. But it was awesome because we do that pursuit drill. We watched tape yesterday with the kids of our game from Saturday. We watched tape and we're going through it. I'm like, guys, look at this pursuit drill. You guys are 12. I said, look at this wall that we build after our interception. They threw a pick to our corner. We blocked the most dangerous man. Our first guy blocked the most dangerous man behind. And we set an absolute wedge and sat there and waited for everybody to come to him. I'm like, there's high school teams that can't do that. Like, there's college teams that don't know how to do that. We skinnied up and then hit the sidelines. I mean, it was gorgeous. So, I mean, we have a little fun, but I'll definitely either take the dummy and we'll give him a little heat,
And as much as Pollock and I bust each other's chops, the impact that he's had on these players, their families, and his Titans football program has been really cool. We're going to talk about it from time to time. He and I often will pull out photographs and video of our respective children's exploits and have the other watch. We'll share it with you. As we go along, we've probably gone longer. We're going to keep this a little tighter because I know he and I are both very honest about this. We listen to podcasts. We're out after half an hour. So, but this is a little longer. It's first week. We're excited. And we're going to be here every week. Let me give you one more quick pick. Like Nevada against Cal. I'm not sure they're going to have get enough points to be a super dog, but I like them.
Carson Strong is obviously
Carson Strong.
A stud.
He's going to get some draft buzz real soon. The Nevada.
He'll be a second round pick or a first round pick probably in the draft next year. He's that kind of good. But
big.
Does California play offense or have they? I mean, that's kind of been like Wilcox does a great job. Defense is always good. Offense has been very optional while he's been there. Yeah, I mean, I like the pick. I mean, good lord. I'd keep it there.
They're not going.
Superdogs. Superdogs are back.
Yeah, I know. You are the Superdog champion. You're the reigning Superdog champion on college.
I'm just glad I'm in the picks because you're there. I didn't know if I was going to be in the Superdog picks. So I'm in. I'm excited.
And we're not going to kick you out after you won. I mean, Herb Street tried, but wouldn't let
run.
I wouldn't let Kirk kick you out after that. Hey man, it's been fun. Let's get this started. It's going to get better and better. We're going to talk games every week, talk football, talk other stuff that's important to us, and hope you'll join us. Our podcast will drop our version of it every Tuesday. So thanks for listening. Make sure you rate, review, and follow the College Football Podcast wherever you get your podcast. We'll be posting episodes Sunday through Thursday every week during the season. David and I here on Tuesdays, Kirk Herbstreit, Matt Barry, Paul Feinbaum, Kevin Negandhi, Joey Galloway, Booger McFarland, all will be hosting this year, and we are looking forward to it. Who's going to get the Scott Frost treatment? Anybody? We'll see. Upsets, I'm sure there are plenty. Join us on College Game Day. David, it's been fun.
Boom.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.